Here we did Reish Samach Gimel Sif Hei. In the days of the Gaonim, the practice was that if a baby died before the bris, they would do a bris milah, the dead baby. Some of the Gaonim implied that it's a din men haTorah. They darshim sukim like that. If you look in the Torah Shlem, he quotes the drushes from the Gaonim. We assume it's only a minig. And then you give the baby a name. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Give the baby a name, she's zeichet to have tchias hameis. So then the Ramah says, but you're not allowed to do that, to handle a baby, to perform a bris milah on Yontif. You're not allowed to. Usually on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do a bris, you're not allowed to do a kvura, even on Yidei Nochrim. On Yontif Rishon, you're permitted to do a kvura on Yidei Nochrim. Yontif Sheni, you're permitted to do a kvura on Yidei Yisra. What's so important that you allow a kvura? Amir al-Nach usually not allowed. And when you do a kvura on Yantav Sheni, the Jews bury him. They're doing malachas. Yantav Sheni is only with the Rabbanon. Okay, so what's so important? The Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Chuvus, he doesn't think that it's important because the mitzvah bismillah has an isa, koris is punished. But what am I mixing up? It's not because of the mitzvah kvura. Because I'm not talking about kvura. Not because of the mitzvah kvura. He thinks it's because of bizoyan hameis. Because of the body is going to smell. But he says that today, that you put the body in a freezer, and there won't be such a bizayin hameis. He thinks that there's no heter at all. Not a yantav rishon to do the kvura al yidei nochrim, and not a yantav sheni to do the kvura al yidei yisra. He thinks that the heter was only years ago, but they didn't have freezers. So the body would start to decompose. It would be a big bizayin hameis. So then people attacked Rav Moshe that it's against the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say one way or the other. Rav Moshe interpreted that it's because the body is kind of decomposed. So he says he's not chaylik on the Gemara. He's explaining the Gemara. But I don't know. He's not going to argue with the Gemara. He's explaining. The whole heter is only because of the bizoyin hameis. So here there's a question. What about a nephel? He was talking the baby, a stillborn baby. It was born dead. Or it dies right away soon after it was born. A baby dies within 30 days. So the Gemara says, if you don't know whether it's kolal chadoshev or not, you don't know whether it's a full-term pregnancy or it's a premature baby. What's considered full-term? So that's 9 months, for nine full months, 9 times 30 days. You see, in the Jewish calendar, every other month has 29 days. So if you say 9 months, it should really be every other month should be 29 days. So it says no, 9 months over here means 9 times 30. If the pregnancy was full term, 9 months each month of 30 days, and not in the Goyish calendar, not in the Jewish calendar. Nobody has such a calendar. But the Gemara means in abstract, 9 times 30 days, that's called Kolal Chadosha. What if the pregnancy entered into the beginning of the ninth month? So that's a big machloikus in the days of the Gemara, whether you're led this Letisha. The Gemara considered as if there are two types of pregnancy. There's a 7 month pregnancy and a 9 month pregnancy. And if a baby's going in the 8th month, so you have to figure out, is it a post mature 7 month pregnancy or is it a premature 9 month pregnancy? How can you tell? So the Gemara says you see whether it has hair and whether it has fingernails. If it's a post mature pregnancy, then the hair is going to be there. Post mature means more than full term. The post-mature babies sit up earlier and their features are chiseled out, they're clearer, everything is more developed at an early age. The Ritva says he doesn't know what in the world the Gemara is talking about. There is no such thing as a 7 month pregnancy. He doesn't know. So we don't know in Shulchan Aruch. They say they don't know what the Gemara is talking about. With the doctors in recent years are not gurus that there is no such thing as a 7 month pregnancy. There's a 9 month pregnancy and a baby's born in the 8th month, it's going to be premature. But the Gemara has a machlokes here. That is Letisha, if it's a 9 month pregnancy. By us, we assume everything is a 9 month pregnancy. Is it your letis limukutoin? Is it considered full term even if you just entered into the 9th month? The first day into the 9th month? Or do you say, no, your letis Letisha, a 9 month pregnancy, ain't your letis limukutoin? It's only called a full term pregnancy. It was 9 times 30 days. So that's in the Gemara, that's a machloikis. In the Rishonim, it's a machloikis. In the Ramah Paskins, Halacha Lamaisa, in Hilchos Chalitza, the Ramah quotes a Tshuvas HaTashbeitz, Tashbait says that Bizman Hazeh, whatever it was in the days of the Gemara is irrelevant. Today it's perfectly normal that a woman gives birth anytime into the ninth month. That's called Kolol HaChadoshev. What's the difference whether it was Kolol HaChadoshev or not? So if the baby dies within 30 days, if you don't know whether it was full term or not, you don't know whether it's full term. So you don't know how long she was pregnant. Sometimes the woman herself doesn't know how long she's pregnant. So if the baby dies within 30 days of its being born, we assume that it was an Eifel. It wasn't a Bar Kayama when it was born, and there's no din of Avelus. One only observes Avelus if someone was alive for a while and then he dies. But if he's born dead, so he was never alive in the first place, so you don't observe Avelus. So if the woman knows that she had a pregnancy already entering into the ninth month, that's called Kolol HaChadoshev Bizman Hazeh. That's what the Rambam writes in Hilchas Chalitza. The Bizman Hazeh, whatever was in the days of the Gemara, whatever was in the days of the Rambam and the Ramban, had a machlokes, whether your letters Letisha, your letters Lemekutoyin, or not your letters Lemekutoyin, is irrelevant. Today, the doctors all say that it's perfectly normal. The baby's born into the ninth month. So even if the baby dies the day after, there would be a din of Avelus, unless the doctors can tell that it's missing a heart and it's missing a lung and it's missing. So they say it was a navel. It was the whole reason why you need a full term pregnancy means that all of the organs would develop. But if you know the doctors know that it's missing a couple of major organs, things are missing, then it doesn't help that it was into the ninth month. Then it's considered a navel. So what's the Ramah doing in Hilchas Chalitza? Then is, what does it say in the Chumash? If a couple is married and the husband dies leaving no children, whether from this wife or a girlfriend or another wife, unless it's from a Goyisha woman or a Shivchak Nainis, and the children are not Mesiachas after the husband, after the boil. But if he has children, however he has children, Beheta, Beisa, even if the child is a mamzer, so whenever there are children, then there's no din of Chalitza. Unless the children predeceased the father. But if the time the father dies, there are children, even though they die the next day, so there's no din of Yibam Mechalit. So during the war, there were shilas. The Nazis killed the parents and the children. You have to ascertain who was killed first. If the children were killed first, and then the father was killed later, so at the time that he died, he didn't have any descendants. So if the wife survived the war, so she needs Chalitza. But if the father was killed first and the children were killed the next day, 5 minutes later, then there was a child at the time of death of the father. Then there's no din of Yibam Chalitza. So the Gemara has a discussion. What if the husband dies and the wife is pregnant with a baby? And the baby is born later. The baby is born later. So also there's no din of Chalitza or Yibam. Because Zera Ein Lo, there was a child. The child was born after the father died. So that father's died, she doesn't need chalitza. What if she has a child, let's say, husband dies, she has a child 5 months later, after the husband dies. So then there's no yim chalitza, but what if the baby dies within 30 days? So do you say that's an eifel or not? So if a baby dies within 30 days of being born, if you don't know whether it's kol al chadoshim or not, and it dies within 30 days, you say that's a sofik neifel. That's a suffix. That whenever there's a suffix, there's no din of avelus. But if the woman knows that she entered into, there are most paskins from the Tashbeit, Shuvas or Tashbeits. If the woman entered into the ninth month, she knows she was pregnant for more than 8 months, 8 times 30 days, and one day entered into the ninth month, and then she gave birth to the baby. So even if the baby dies the next day, if the baby dies within 30 days, if the doctors think that it had all the organs, so then it's not called an Eifel. So that's where there are more paskins like that. There are more paskins like that, Tashbeisa. Whatever was in the days of Gemara, the days of the Rambam and the Ramban, the Machlokes is irrelevant today. The doctors today say that it's considered Kol HaChadoshev once you enter into the ninth month. Shad is that the Rambam never wrote that in Hilchas Avelus. So that's what some Achreinim on the side of the page in Hilchas Avelus suggest that... So sometimes say the din that he wrote in Hilchas Chalitza carries over here. That if the woman knows that she was pregnant 8 full months, and she, her pregnancy entered into the 9th month, then she gives birth to a baby, the baby dies the next day, there would be a din of avelus. That's what some Acharedim say. The Avnei Nezis thinks not so. He says the Ramah didn't say it. Look in Hilchus Chalitza. He didn't refer back to the Shulchan Aruch writes that then if the baby dies within 30 days, if it was Kol HaLachadosh, Kol HaLachadosh means 9 full months, not enough, 8 full months into the 9th month. And the Ramah doesn't disagree there. In Hilchus Chalitza, he writes, he quotes this Tashbeis, and Hilchus Avela doesn't quote it. So the Achrayim on the side of the page assume that din carries over from Hilchus Chalitza to Hilchus Avelus. The Avnei Nezer thinks that not so. He says the Ramah would have written it in Hilchus Avelus. So how come he didn't? Why do you distinguish that? He said because not everybody agrees to the Tashbeis. So even though we have accepted the opinion of the Tashbeis, but it is still a suffix. So since it's a suffix, and whenever the in Hilchus Avelus, if there's any slight suffix, even though it's only a Yochid Keneged Rabbim, we still say that one doesn't observe Avelus. That's the Klal in Gemara. Haloch Gedebra Nekel Bo'ovel. Whenever there's machloikas about something, and there's a minority opinion, let's say you have a machloikas on the din de rabbanon, and it's 50-50. So it's a sveika de rabbanon lekula. You have a right to be mekel. Sveika de rabbanon lekula. What if you have a shaila din de rabbanon, and it's not 50-50? It's 85% of the poskim say one way, and 15% of the poskim say the other way. So you don't say sveika de rabbanon lekula. You go baser raiv. That's the Pasuk in Mishpat, Macheram Lahatas. But by Avelus is not so. Even though it's 85% say, you are Mechuyev to observe Avelus. Whatever the Shaila came up. But 15%, the minority of the Pasuk, say, you don't observe Avelus. You go the Kula. That's called Sofik, the Ran, on the Rif, in the end of the first Perek in Kedushin, calls that a Sofik called the Hu. A real Sofik is that it's 50-50. Here it's nowhere near 50-50. It's 85-15. So that's called the Sofik Kol that was enough to be makel by Avelus. So not all of the Poskim agree with that. That's what the Avnei Nezer thinks. The Tashbeitz came up with that Chiddush, that the doctors of our generation, Tashbeitz is the late Rishonim, early Achronim. Late Rishonim. He lived in Africa, I think. Lived in Algeria, if I'm not mistaken. So he was the one who says that the Bizman Hazeh, Kol HaLachadosh, full term means entering into the beginning of the 9th month. But there are others who disagree with the Tashbeitz. So the majority of the poskim agree with the Tashbeitz. So that's why the Ramah says that if the husband died, and there's a shalom whether the wife needs chalitza, and she was pregnant at the time of death, and then she gives birth to a baby into the 9th month, then the baby dies the next day, so we say that's Kol HaLachadoshav, and the wife, well, we say Lekula. The wife doesn't need any Chalitza. The Ramaz make a Lekula based on the Tashbeitz. It assumes that Rob HaPoskim hold like that, so the Avnei Nezer thinks, but since it's a Miut HaPoskim who disagrees on Hilchas Avelus, we would say Halacha Gedera Mekel Ba'ovel. That's very questionable whether that's correct or not. Because we explained we said, I think last week we explained. We had the Shaila, let's say, they buried someone, let's say today's Sunday. Someone dies and they bury him today, 45 minutes after the Shkia. 45 minutes after the Shkia, there are hundreds of stars in the sky. So the Pashto is it's already Lila. So Sunday doesn't count as the first day of Shiva. Monday is the first day of Shiva. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, no, since the Rabbeinu Tam, even though, let's say, we don't follow the Rabbeinu Tam, but the Rabbeinu Tam holds that for 50 minutes, 55 minutes after the Shkia, it's Vadayom. And then begins Bein HaShemashos. Bein HaShemashos is the last three quarters of a mil before the Dalad Milin. So since there's a Rabbeinu Tam Shita, that it's Vadayom. So even though we don't accept Rabbeinu Tam, we're Mekel on Amitzoy Shabbos, we don't say it's Vadayom. 45 minutes after the Shkia, we're doing Malachas already. But Hilchas Avelus is still Golukul. That's what Moshe Feinstein writes. So that's what I said, that's very questionable because the Mishkan is Yankiv and it's safe and Fehel is Yankiv and Brochus writes that this whole idea, Alochi de Rameka Ba'ovon, is based on the idea of Elu Elu Divelikim Chaim. Whenever you have a machlokes in halacha, so each bishamim b'sila or other tanoim amaroim, so we say each one was using the yugam midrash haTorah nidreshes, and they came up with different maskanas. So you say elav yadidiv lekimchai. But whenever there's a shaila metzias, there's a shaila what the facts are. So you can't say elav yadidiv lekimchai. It's either like this or it's like that. So that's what the Bi'ur HaGro said on the Bein Hashmashes. The long Bi'ur HaGro, he said, Hachush Makhish. You look outside in the sky. 45 minutes after the Shkir, the sky is full of 100 stars. So Rabbeinu Tam is dead wrong. So according to the way the Mishkan and Siyakev understood, Yonis Salach Adar Amek Bo'avon, when it's possible to say, Eilu Eilu Dibu Lekim Chaim. So it's a Shaila Metzias. So you can't say Eilu Eilu. So you wouldn't say like Rav Moshe Feinstein. Moshe was known as a big mekel. He said, even if the Gvur is 45 minutes after the Shki on Sunday night, it's considered Sunday is the first day of Shiva, Monday is the second day. Pashtus is not like Rav Moshe. How can you rely on the Rabbeinu Tam? You can't say Elu V'Elu over there. So that's a similar shaila over here. This is a question of Metzias. Is it considered Kol Olah Hadosh Avanat? So the Tashbeit said the Machlekes was in the days of the Gemara. Whether your lettuce letisha, your lettuce lemukutoin or not, is that normal? Is it healthy that the woman has a 9-month pregnancy and the baby will be born sometime into the 9th month? Machlekes and the Gemara. Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ramban had a paskim, but the Tashbeits lived generations later. He said the bizmana zeh, whatever it used to be, bizmana Gemara, bizmana Rishon. Today is not so. Today's full-term pregnancy is the beginning of the 9th month is ginut. So the pashtus is it's a medical fact. So you can't say Eilu V'Eilu Dibu Lekim Chaim. In Halacha, you can say, like the Ritva explained on the Gemara in Erevin, on Yud Gimel and Basic Gemara, that's where the original sources for that line. The many disputes, B'Sham and B'Shilo, even though we pass them like the B'Shilo, but Eilu V'Eilu Dibu Lekim Chaim. So the Ritva explained, how can it be Eilu V'Eilu Dibu Lekim Chaim? They said, he says, when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Hasin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching him the Didim. Moshe Rabbeinu said, what should the Din be? In this case, Rabbeinu Shalom said, Osir. What's it did in that case? So Rabbanu Shalom said, Mutum. What's it did in this case? So Rabbanu Shalom sometimes said, that's a great area of halacha, as elements of his, elements of et, elements of ptur, elements of chiv, elements of hechsher, elements of psul, and he leaves it up to the opinion of the chachmei hator, shebechol davador, to determine whether they think the elements of isa outweigh the elements of het, based on their perspective. And all the perspectives are correct from their perspective. I'm looking at everything in the room. I'm looking from the front. Someone's looking from the back. Someone's looking through the window. Someone's looking from the other window over there. All the perspectives are correct from their perspective. Each one is looking from a different perspective. So you can't say who's right, who's wrong. All the perspectives are correct from their perspective. So that's Pashtus says that Ritva is explaining when there's a question of Isa v'Heter, but not if it's a scientific fact. The question of Metzi is what the fact is. How can you say Elu V'Elu? Either it is or it isn't. It's a medical fact. How can you say that? I thought that Avnei Nezer was problematic. That he thinks that the Rambam only quoted the Tashbeitz and Hilchas Chalitza. He never quoted in Hilchas Avelus. So not like the Mefarshim on the side say, look in Hilchas Chalitza and it applies over here. This comes up all the time. It comes up very often. A woman has a baby sometime into the 9th month. The baby died 3 days after it was born. So do you observe Avelus or not? So the Nezer thinks that you don't. Even though she knows she was into the 9th month. He says that you say Aloch Deram Ekel. And since there are those who disagree with the Tashbeit, so we say Aloch Deram Ekel. It's very questionable. Very questionable. So getting back again. Is there a mitzvah of kvura by an eifel? We know there's no avelus by an eifel. Avelus is only by a person who was alive and then he died. So then you have neog avelus. If it's a stillborn child or it died soon after it was born, and we assume it dies within 30 days, this dying within 30 days is based on the pasuk by Pinyan Ben. By Pinyan Ben, you have to wait till the Yom Lamed Aleph, even if it's a post-mature baby, even if you know Bavandai. The woman was pregnant with the baby for 10 months, and you see the baby comes out, all the features are chiseled out. You can tell it's a post-mature baby. You can tell. A lot of times you can tell that a baby sits up earlier, a baby's brighter, sharper, is going to develop later. So you can tell whether it's a premature or postmature baby. So the... So that's by... There's no avelus by an Eifel. Tuma there is. Ames is metame. There is a din of tumas ames. If the baby dies within the first 40 days or so of pregnancy, the Gemara calls him Ayabi Alma. There's no, that's not a baby. And then the next one will have Pidyon HaBen, the Mishnah asks, because the first one doesn't count, wasn't a lot. So, but there will be tumas meis. If the pregnancy was less than 40 days, there's no tumas meis, it's Ma'avi Alma. But if it's 44 days, 45 days, that's when there's a tsuris avlad. So then there will be tumas meis. The Shadis, is there a chi of kvura? Is there a mitzvah kvura? So let's say a woman has a stillborn child in the hospital. So the hospital will bury the nafel in a plot together with the Goyisha babies. They'll dispose of the nafel. The question is that good enough? Or they need kvura, means you need kevi Israel. You have to bury the baby in a Jewish cemetery. It costs a fortune of money. So it's a shayla halacha lemaisa. Here the Bir Agro tells you, look, Bir Agro Yud Aleph and Simen Resh Samach Gimel, the last Ramah in the Simen. So the Vilna Gaon says, look in Arachaim Simen Tov Kuf Chavav. So there in Shulchan Aruch, there's the Magen Avram quotes a Machloikas Achrayim, whether there's a Chiyuv Kvura by a Nefel. What's the issue? Because there is a Gemara in... Every so often the Gemara quotes what the Kusim have to say. The Gemara says the Kusim made up, they didn't accept Torah Shabbal Peh. So they made up their own dinim, and then the Chachamim disagree with them because we have traditions of Torah Shabbal Peh. So here the Gemara says the Kusim darshan the pasuk in Tanakh that there's no chi of kvura by a nefel. If the baby was stillborn, there's no mitzvah kvura. So you can let the hospital dispose of the vlad. They can burn it, or they can bury it in a general plot. You don't have to spend money. And then, so the Magen Avraham quotes the Machlokes Sachreinim that the Gemara says in the end of Nida, the Kusim Darshan Apostle, that by a Nefel, there's no Chiyuv Kvura. The Gemara doesn't say, but Hachamim disagree, and they hold that they're wrong. The Gemara just says what the Kusim say. So, half of the Achreinim assume that's what the Kusim say. Whenever we say what the Kusim said, it's by definition, we assume that they're wrong. And the other Magen Avraham said, the Achreinim say, no, the Gemara doesn't say that the Achreinim disagree. The Kusim, once in a long while, they darshan the pasuk correctly, and they are true. It is correct. The Mikra Din, there's no Chiyuv Kvura. So that's what we really hold like that. The Mikra Din, there's no Chiyuv Kvura by a Nefel. Just like there's no Chiyuv Avelus, but there is Tuma. Tuma Smeis, there is. A Kohen is not allowed to go if there's a Nefel. Let's say the husband is there. The woman went for a checkup and the doctor says there's no heartbeat. The baby is dead. So the husband is not allowed to, when the doctor is going to take out the blood, the husband can't remain there. It's a tumas hames. Even though you metame to design krivim as a form, it's a form of neo gavelus being metame to the krivim. And Tosis writes in the first parak in Psochim, and that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the Kohen is not allowed to be metamed to design Kroivim on Shabbos. Let's say a relative died the 7 days in the week. So there's a one chance out of seven that any given relative is going to die on Shabbos. So if a relative dies on Shabbos, the Kohen is not allowed to be in the oil or mace. Why? Because no one does the mitzvah of Kvura on Shabbos. Not allowed to. You're not allowed to do the mitzvah. Even Amir Lenochri, not allowed to do on Shabbos. Only on Yom Tov Rishon you do Amir Lenochri, on Tov Sheni do Ayde Yisrael. So on Shabbos, where there's no mitzvah kvura, so the Kohanim are not allowed to be mitami. So the same thing by a Nefil. By a Nefil, the Torah's Kohanim has a drasha. By a Nefil, the Kohanim are not allowed to be mitami. So the perhaps the Pashtus is the reason why they're not allowed to be metame, because there's no mitzvah kvura by an Eifel. So that's what the Ramah says over here. That this if there is a mitzvah kvura, let's say a normal person dies at the age of 120, right? So there's a mitzvah kvura, a Jewish person died. By Meisei Yachin, there's no mitzvah kvura. By Meisei Yisrael, there's a mitzvah kvura. So if a Meisei Yisrael, a Jew dies at the age of 120, so the Kroivim have a mitzvah kvura. So then on Shabbos, we don't permit the kvura, even Aydei Nochrim. But on Yom Tov Rishon, we allow Aydei Nochrim, and Shani Aydei Yisrael. But that's only if there's a mitzvah kvura. But let's say it's a nefil. So the Ramah says, by nefil, there's no mitzvah kvura. So we have the minig developed over the generations that if the woman is already into the fifth month and she starts feeling movement, a lot of times the pregnant women feel a baby jumping around inside. So when they start feeling movement into the fifth month, then the minig is that you spend money, you have, you bury, and then the baby dies, it's an eifel, stillborn. Then the minig is that you do kvura bekevi Yisrael. You spend all that special money. So fortune and money to buy a plant. But if the baby died before the mother, before the pregnant mother felt the movement, then the minig is that we don't bother to do a kvura at all. You let the hospital do whatever they want to do. There's no chiyuv kvura. So that's what the Ramah says over here. So the Bi'ur Ragbah says, look in our Arachayim. There is a machlokes achrayim. But that's the common practice, that you only do kmikra din behold that kusim arayim. There's no chiyuv kvura on a nefel. But if the woman already felt movement into the fifth month, so then we makvit to see to it that they have kvura bekevi Yisrael. If you're going to do, let's say, a bris milo, you're going to do a bris milo on a dead baby, so there's not, usually when you do a bris, so there's some kind of a malacha or another. So we said the three different opinions. Some say the malacha is bleeding, some say the malacha is dosh, some say the malacha is makaba patish. So makaba patish is misakin gavra, that now the person is considered complete, he's allowed to eat korban pesach. An oral is not allowed to eat korban pesach, not allowed to eat any korbanos. And a kohen oral, that's perik oral and yibam. An oral is not allowed to eat truma. A kohen is oral, not allowed to eat truma. So if the baby is dead, and you're performing a bismila, this minik from the days of the goinim, you do a bismila and you mispal, the baby should be zechet to tchias ameisim. So there is no malocha mesak and mona. The baby's dead. He can't eat truma, can't touch him, nothing to talk about. And we assume there's no iser of causing bleeding either. If a person is alive, then you say, ki adam hu anefesh. That's what we said from all the three different opinions. What's the malacha by causing bleeding? The Ramam says that it's disha, and Rashi said that it's tzaveya, and Taisa says that it's until it's neshomek, ki adam hu anefesh. So the Achrayim point out, the Rishami says, beperish like Taisa, that the malacha of causing bleeding on Shabbos and Yom Tov is the malacha of Netilas and Shamik Adam Hu Anefesh. Mali Kotla Kula Mali Kotla Palma. But over here, if the baby is dead already, so there's no malacha involved in doing the Bris Milo. So what is the Ramah so upset that you're not allowed to do the Bris Milo on Yom Tov? So the answer is, he's not upset because of the Isser of the malacha. The malacha involved in performing the Bris Milo. That's not the problem. The dead baby is muktzah. The dead baby is muktzah. The dinim of muktzah, called the tikkun rabbanan came there, right? The tikkun, the dinim of handling muktzah. The Gemara says it was patterned after, called the tikkun rabbanan came there, right? All the dinim rabbanan. The ruba of the dinim rabbanan, patterned after dinim there, right? They use building blocks that exist on the level of the right, somewhere or another, to formulate what the dinim should be with the rabbanan. So by Muktzah, the Gemara says, they used the klalim of Kabbalah's Tuma. There are four categories of things that are Mekabal Tuma. Adam, Mekelim, Ochlam, and Mashkim. So those four things are Mekabal Tuma because they have Chashivas. Everything else is considered junk, and it's not Mekabal Tuma. Sometimes you have a Kli Glolim, Kli Avonim, Kli Adama. It's a perfect Kli, but it's not Mekabal Tuma because there is Hakosav. So that's not Muktzah. Or let's say Adam. Adam is Mekabal Tuma. Anochri is not mekabel tumah. You're not going to say anochri is a piece of junk, and therefore it's muktzah. You don't say like that. Adam is since basically Adam Yisrael is mekabel tumah shows that it has chashivas. Even anochri is also not muktzah. And ochlam and mashkim also the ikar adin, only Michael Adam is mekabel tumah. or mashkim that roil l'shtiyasot. Let's say have ochel mashkim that only roil achilas behema. So then it's not mekabel tuma. If erishet dim shulchan aruch, it's not mekabel tuma. You can use it for schach on the sukkah. For schach, you're not allowed to use dovah hamekabel tuma. So meichel behema, if it's not meichel adam, may be used as schach because it's a dovah she'ena mekabel tuma. But still, when it gets to muktzah, the gemara says beferish. If you have something that's only meichel behema, it's not meichel adam. So there's a big tosis about that. They show from the gemara that it's not muktzah. The dinim were patterned after the din derais. It doesn't always follow every single detail. It's not always the same. So here, if you're going to perform a bris milah on the dead baby, there isn't going to be a malacha masakem mana. The baby's dead. He's dead. Now he can eat kotchim, he can eat truma. He's dead. Can he korban pesach? And we usually assume that the malacha is the natilas neshama. There's not natilas neshama on a dead baby. There's not natilas neshama if you take out the dam. According to the Rambam, maybe it should be disha, but the Gemara seems to say it's mechata chofa bi'almahu. If you have an animal that's dead, and then you cause it to bleed, or a dead person, then you cause it to bleed, you can't say anymore, ki adamu anefesh, the blood is not circulating to keep it alive. So the Rambam says you don't do the bris on the dead baby on Shabbos or Yom Taviv, Yom Tav Shen Shagos. Not that you don't do the bris because of the malacha involved in performing a bris, because it's tiltal muktzah, that's why. They only were mekel to do tiltal muktzah, b'mokayim mitzvah skvura, or according to Rabbi Moshe, it's not that the mitzvah kvura because of bizoyin ames, it's going to decompose. If you have a freezer, so even though there is a mitzvah kvura, kavdik beranim b'yamahu, but since there isn't going to be any bizoyin ames, it's not going to decompose, not going to smell worse than it is now. If you freeze it, so the Rabbi Moshe held that there's no hetter. So that's the issue over here. The issue of tilta muktzah, so to do the kvura, he tiru chachamim in his man agamar, his man of shulchan aruch till recent, they have freezes. To do the kvura, he tiru chachamim. But to do a bris, to be mkaim the minik, that means it's an issa tilta muktzah. That's the issa. So the Ramah here just says that there's no mitzvah kvura by nefola. And that's really a machleket. That's what the Bir Agro says. Look in our chaim, it's not so pusk, not so muskam. Not everybody agrees. And the last line in the Ramah, it was very, very, very relevant in Europe before the Second World War. I mean, in the First World War and Second World War, there was a lot of intermarriage going on. So let's say you have a Jewish man lives with a non-Jewish woman and they have a baby. So the baby is not Jewish. So let's say, but the father of the baby is Jewish. He wants the moel to come and do a bris milah. He can't say a bracha. Ala milo, there's no mitzvah milo on a goyisha baby. But let's say they want him to do a circumcision. So is that permissible? So the Ramah says you're not allowed to also lomol avik achavim sholo l'shem geiris afila b'chov. If you're going to do a bris milo, then you'll mislead people into thinking that the child is Jewish. So that's what the poskim said in Europe. That when you have an intermarried couple and the mother, the baby is a goya, so you're not allowed to perform a bris milah. The baby will be passed on as a Jew later on. He's not Jewish. He's going to marry a Jewish girl. That's not right. Unless you're doing the milah b'chol l'shem geiris. Okay, l'shem geiris is a different story. Let's say a couple doesn't have any children they want to adopt. So they want to adopt the goyish baby, then they want to be mala baby the shem geiris. Okay, the shem geiris, a different story. Okay, that's the end of Reish Samach Gimel. Then Reish Samach Dalet, we started already. The Ramah, in the first Ramah on Reish Samach Dalet, has the following shaila. A baby is in the middle of, it's the first 7 days before the eighth day when you do the bris, and there's some kind of a medical emergency, and the doctors say there's a sakana for the baby, so they have to do a circumcision to save the baby's life, whatever. So does it make a difference whether you have a Jewish surgeon or a non-Jewish surgeon? They're going to cut off the Or HaOrlo. So the Ramah says it doesn't make a difference. He's quoting from the Rishonim. What's a Rashba? Tinok, a little baby, shehutzuchu lamula toch shmonim b'pnei asakana, and chilek by nisua lav kachom. It doesn't make a difference because there's no mitzvah of mila in the middle of the, and before the eighth day. It can't be mekayim the mitzvah of mila, so it doesn't make a difference whether you have a Jew do the surgery or a non-Jew do the surgery. The kol toch shmonim la mikri mila. Shoy. So the Bi'ur HaGra writes, if Kotnila, this contradicts what the Rama himself wrote in Reis Alech Bey, Sif Aleph. We mentioned it, but we never really discussed it. The Rama there, this is a long shach in Reis Alech Bey, Sif Kotn Bey. When do you do Hatofas Dambris? So the Gemara has a Machlekes Hatanoim. If a non-Jew comes to convert and he already had a circumcision for medical purposes, for hygienic purposes, he had a circumcision, but it wasn't done l'shem geiris, so that's or the nochri. That's one case. Or the nochri was born without an or horlo. That's rare, but you have cases like that. The baby is born doesn't have an or horlo, so they're not necessarily going to be the same din. Nochri shen izgai kushu mahu, or nochri shen izgayer, and he was nolad mahu. So that's a machlokes hatanoim whether you need a hatovas dambris or not. And then there's a machlokes. What if there was a Jewish baby who is nolad mahul? Is there a need for hatavas dambris? So that's a machlokes hatana. How do we pass on halacha? So Tosfos has different opinions. But akotze la kotze. Some say that by the gershon this guy you do need bris. By the baby who is nolad mahul, you don't need any hatavas dambris. Some say the opposite way. So we're machmir in all the cases to require hatavas dambris. So what about the following case? So we had the Rambam said. The Rambam quoted the Gemara of the Zohar Daf Chav Zayin that you don't permit a Nochri to perform the Bris Milah. The Machlag is Samaraim. Which Pasuk do you learn it out from? That's the Taz and Ar Simen, Reis HaMach Dalet, Sivkot and Beis, the Gemara Nechluku B'tam, how do you know it's no good? Two different Psukim and Afkamina Malchab, whether a woman is permitted to serve as a Mohela, so Mikra, then we Paskin. Yes, if you have a Shas HaTzak, it's a Machlag is. How to paskin. So Mikra, then we paskin, a woman may do a bris milah, but because of the minority opinion, we always recommend she should not, unless it's the Yom HaShmini, and then what the moil, there's no male moil to do the bris milah, then he'll ask a woman to do. But l'chatchila, you shouldn't do it. Here in New York City, the New York Board of Rabbis approved many years ago, around 20, 30 years ago, they approved a whole bunch of women as mohalos, that they're allowed to do a bris milah. So the poskim say that that's not right. The board of rabbis was always conservative rabbis. So they have their own opinion about everything. The Hokal HaHachma, they're different than everything. They don't work with the Midrash HaTorah and the Reshet's Mem, so they can say whatever they don't please. Yeah. So it's not right. It's not right to approve l'hatchila that a woman should do a bris milah. If you're stuck on the Yom HaShmini, that's how the Shach poskim. If he's stuck on the Yom HaShmini and the only one who can do the Mila Bizman is a woman, then we're makel to follow that opinion. But usually not. So the Rambam quoted that din that a Nochri may not perform the Bris Mila. But he says, but yeah, but if the Nochri did it, then you don't have to do Atavas Dambris. So Kas Mishnah asks, why not? So he says, because it's not so possible. Even though the Nochri is possible, it's possible l'chatchila, but yeah, but it's good. And we said the Shagazai disagrees with the Kes Mishnah. That's not why. No, it's possible that he have it also. But the Ram holds you won't accomplish anything by doing Hatovas Dambris. There is no such din. If you did the Mila B'Psul, so far found. The kid is not an Oro, because he doesn't have the Oro. But he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. There's no way to rectify it. That's what the Ram meant to say. So the Ram holds that that's not true. The Ram says it depends how serious the P'sul was. That's the Ram on Reish Samar Beis. Siv base. So Rama says, if they did a bris milah balayla, the bris milah has to be done by yom, even if it's shaloi bismana. Even there's one opinion in Tanoim, and the Gemara is machlok. One Tana holds you're not allowed to do the bris balayla. You're not allowed to do the bris before the eighth day. So what about leil shmini? Can you do the bris leil shmini? So that's too early. What about the night after shmini? So there's one Tana whose opinion is not accepted. There was a minority opinion. After the Yom HaShmini, you can do the bris whenever you want, either by Yom or by Laila. So the Shulchan Aruch said, we don't pass like that. Afila milu shaloi bizmana en ela bayom. Even if you had to postpone the bris, the milu always has to be by Yom, you can't do by Laila. So there are more adds on. And what if you want to add and you did the bris milu by Laila? So it's, you're not Yotze, and you have to repeat it. In other words, not like the Shagasari who said in the Rambam, maybe the Shagasari is right, that's Pshat in the Rambam, we don't pass like that. The Shagasari understood in the Rambam that whenever a baby needed a bris, and you did the bris bipsul, so you can't accomplish, there's nothing you can do. Fafan, the baby is not an oral. You removed, Nochri took off the oral, so the baby's not an oral in Metzius. And there's nothing you can do to fix up the situation. You blew it. You can't fulfill the mitzvah meal. So the Rama says, not like that. The Rama says, if you went ahead and you did a bris balayla, tzorach lachsa lohotmen and dam bris. So what if you did a bris meal toch shmona? So it should also be no good. So the Rama says, however, if mola toch shmona bayom, if they did a bris, that's very common today in the hospitals. The parents don't want to hire a moel, a non-observant parents. So they ask the goyish doctor to do a circumcision. I'll get a Jewish doctor to do a circumcision. They do the circumcision on the same day the baby's born, on the next day. So then the Rama says, if they did the milut bayom, toch shmona, then b'dievet you yoytze, and you don't have to repeat the bris. So how do you understand the difference between toch shmona and balayla? Balayla is absolutely puzzle, and therefore you have to repeat it. Atov is not bris, but if it's bayom, even though it's toshmona, b'di eved yoyotza. Why is b'di eved yotza? That's a problem over here. Why what? So they say the name of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik just to knock sense into the Rama. The Shach disagrees with the Rama. He says that's a long shach, a cut and base, and he says the Rama is wrong. How can you distinguish between balayla and toch shmona? They're both no good. So the Shach's maskana is that you always need atavas dambris. Whenever you did the milah b'psul, you have to repeat it to atavas dambris. What's pshat in the Rama? So they say b'shem Rab Chaim, the pshat in the Rama is the following. If you did a bris milah toch shmona, or you did a bris milah balaylo, so you're not yoytze, and you have to do it over again. You can't do it over again. You have to have hatofes dambris. So what the din of hatofes dambris is, there a din of shmini on that? There isn't always a din of shmini. Let's say a baby is delivered, a cesarean delivery. So the mother, so that's a machlekes hatanaim. That's the name of the perik anita, perik yotzei daifen. So if the baby was a yotzei daifen, it means instead of the baby coming out from the canal, the vaginal canal, they cut open the stomach, they take the baby out there. So then the woman doesn't have Yimei Tuma Yimei Tara. That's how we paskan against. Tan Rab Lezer disagrees. Shimon Rab Lezer, one Tana disagrees, and we don't pass like that. We paskan that there's no Yimei Tuma V'Tara. So then in the Gemara, in the beginning of Perek Rab Lezer Demila, there's a Machloikes Hamoraim. And the Gemara says the rule is whenever these two Amoraim, let's say Abai v'Rava, what's the rule? So over the generations they voted, and all of the Machlokes and Abai v'Rava told. It turned out that the consensus was not that they always voted for Rava. On each issue they took a vote, and it turned out the majority always agreed with Rava, except for the Al-Kagam, except for the six cases where they agreed with Abai. So these two Amoraim, whenever, I forgot their name, whenever they disagree, so the Gemara has Al Gemara in Erevin, Mem Zayin or something, Mem Zayin. Gemara has a long list. All the Tanaim and all Amoraim disagree. So whenever these two Amoraim disagree, it's a Sfeika Adina. So it's a Machlokes Amoraim. In the beginning of Perek Lez in the Milah, if a woman had a baby boy, cesarean delivery, and therefore there's no Tumas Yoledes, does it follow that there's no Din of Shmini? So you can do the bismillah the same day that the baby was, the same day that you took the baby out of his mother's womb. The baby was born on a Wednesday, you can do the bismillah that day. Or do you say, no, even though any matmei oleida, you still have to do the milah bishmini. Because the pasuk, yamashmini imo psara losa, says in Parshas Tazria, right after yimei tuma v'yimei tahara. It says, there's 7 yimei tuma, 33 yimei tohar, dam tohar. And then it says, "Bayamashmini imo psara losa." So just like by a yotzei daifen, there's no tuma v'tahara. So maybe based on the hemshach hapsukim, kol she'eini matamei oleida, there's no din of shmini. So these two amoraim who disagree, the klal is whenever they disagree, it's a sfeika d'yoma. So we're not allowed, whenever there was a cesarean delivery, so you're not allowed to do the bris before the eighth day. You don't do the bris right away. But if the eighth day turns out to be Shabbos, they had a cesarean delivery on Shabbos, then the week after is Shabbos, and then we don't allow the bris on Shabbos, because maybe the dinner is like the other opinion. You could have done the bris on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You could have done the bris the whole week before. There's no din of Shmiti. You could do it before, you could do it after. So that's why there was a scandalous incident over here in the New York area. One of the Balabatim didn't show up in Shul on Shabbos morning. And then when he came to Shul on Shabbos afternoon, he tells everybody the good news. His wife had a baby and this is his cesarean delivery. So the rabbi of the shul didn't know Kitzu Shulchan Aruch. So the rabbi, who happened to be a Muslim from Yeshiva University, much older than me, he's no longer alive. So he said, Mazel Tov, we're going to have a bris next Shabbos. He didn't know the din, that you don't do a bris. You don't do a bris of a cesarean on Shabbos. So the Balabas, on Sunday morning, the Balabas davened in a different shul. So the other rabbi from the other shul said, what do you mean you're having a bris on Shabbos? It's a din in Shulchan Aruch, that you don't do a bris meal on Shabbos if it's Yotzei Daifin. So he said, the Baal HaBos doesn't know Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't know. He said, that's what the rabbi said, I'm going to have a bris next Shabbos. So the second rabbi went, he called up the first rabbi, and he came to his home, and he showed, opened up the Gemara for him, he showed up the Rambam, he showed him the Shulchan Aruch, and said, that's the din. So the rabbi says, he has to ask Rabbi Soloveitchik. You have to ask Rabbi Soloveitchik whether you have to lay tefillin on Sunday morning. Everything you have to ask Rabbi Soloveitchik has a different opinion on everything. There's some things that Rabbi Soloveitchik says 99.99% of the time he says what it says in Shulchan Aruch, more so than Rabbi Moshe. Rabbi Moshe changed a lot of dinim. Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't want to change any dinim. He was much more, he stuck to what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Moshe came up a lot of times original tradition. Rabbi Soloveitchik wouldn't change the dinim so quickly. Rabbi Soloveitchik, when he spoke, he would speak with such a polished language, and he was dressed fancy, so you get the impression he's saying original things. Rabbi Moshe would talk, he wasn't such a good public speaker, so he had the impression, the mistaken impression, they're just saying over what it said in Shulchan Aruch. It was just the reverse. Rabbi Soloveitchik was always saying over what it said, but he said it razzle-dazzle with the whole presentation. Rabbi Moshe said it in a batlanish way, so he thought he's not saying anything new. And it was puk faket, he was saying original things. Anyway, so that's Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't have anything to tell the rabbi. That's a din in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. Yotzei Daifin, this din, is not only if they cut open the stomach like this, they cut open and then they took out the baby, didn't come out through the vaginal canal. Even if it did come out, if the rechem didn't push it out, let's say, sometimes it happens if there's a complicated delivery. Healthy, normal is if the head comes first. So once it's Yotzer Rosho, it's Kiyolud. That's how the Mishnah has. Once Yotzer Rob Rosho, it's a considered Kiyolud. But sometimes, let's say the legs come out first, and it's going to be a Sakana for the mother, a Sakana for the baby. So the doctor sometimes will make an incision on the right side and the left side, then they'll stick their hands in, and they'll take out the baby. So it turns out the Rechem didn't push out the baby. The baby came out Derech HaRechem, But the rechem didn't push it out. So that's also considered Yotzei Daifin. Or let's say sometimes a woman has, she went to the doctor and the doctor said there's no heartbeat, the baby's not alive anymore. So sometimes they'll do an abortion, the baby's dead. They'll remove the baby with, they'll suction the baby out. So the rechem didn't push it out. They had a vacuum. The vacuum pulled it out. So that's also called the Yotzei Daifin. Has an afkamina ladin, it could be a Yotzei Daifin. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva about that. Let's say a woman had a baby, girl, then the second baby is a boy. So there's no pinyon aben, it has to be the first baby. What if the first baby was an aphel? Let's say an aphel. So if it was an aphel before 40 days, no tzuras ablat, so the one that's born next, if it's a zohar, will have a pinyon aben. The first one doesn't count. What if the first one is an aphel after 40 days? Then the second baby, even though it's a boy, was born naturally, will not have a pinyon aben. What if the first one was an aphel? Yotzei Daifin. So Rabbi Pesach Frank has a tshuva based on the Gemara. He says that then you should do Pidyon Ben with a bracha on the next baby. So Yotze Daifen is not necessarily if they cut open over here and they took out the baby, not from the canal, even if it came out through the canal, but if they suction it out. That's a lot of times when the baby is not the heart is not beating, the baby is dead already, they'll suction it out with a vacuum. They'll vacuum it out. So that's considered a nafel Yotze Daifen. So that's Nageh La'alocha. The other one's also Nageh La'alocha. A lot of times the baby comes out with the feet first, and the doctors make a decision to put the hands in and take out the baby. So that's also called the Yotze Daifen. It didn't come out Derech HaDaifen, but the Rechem didn't push it out. Rav Henkin, before Rav Moshe came to America, Rav Henkin was the big Poisek in New York and all of America. So he had an opinion I don't think is accepted by the majority of the Rabbanim at all. He thought that whenever you induce labor, since the woman, the Rechem, wasn't about to push out the baby on its own, you had to inject a chemical into her bloodstream to induce labor. So that's called Yotze Daifen. His opinion was not accepted. That's not called Yotze Daifen. You inject something and then the Rechem pushes out the baby. It's not that the chemical pushes out the baby. Chemical starts up at that part of the body. So now the Rechem pushed out the baby. That's the accepted opinion. Years ago, the Rabbinical Council of America used to have a madrich, a little book, a guide for the rabbis, how to do a bris, how to do a pidyon ben, what to say at a funeral, what to say at a wedding, and so on. So they quoted this psak from Rabbi Henkin, that whenever there was induced labor, so the bris is not derech Shabbos. As a din, like a yetze daifen, so you shouldn't do the bris before the eighth day, but if the eighth day of Shabbos is not derech Shabbos, you have to do the bris on Sunday afterwards. So that's not right. That's not the accepted opinion. Rabbi Henkin was a big Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Henkin is known for his unusual opinions. That somehow he got cheated by history. He's only known for all of the unusual opinions that were not accepted. Like his grandson, one of his great grandsons, wrote over in his name that when you wear tchelas and tzitzis, you only put tchelas in one of the four corners. You don't put it in all four corners. Nobody follows that opinion today. None of the Rishonim say that. Nobody says that. Or his machloikis, he had a machloikis with Rav Moshe Feinstein. If a woman was civilly married, would he need a get? Mikra did. So Rav Henkin said, based on the Gemara, Eira namosa bilosa bilos nus. So therefore we assume if there were religious Jews in the neighborhood, there are two men in the neighborhood who know that this couple are living together, kederach ish v'yishtoi. That's considered Eidus L'Kim Adabi, even though they're not in the bedroom and they're not anywhere near the bedroom. And the husband, the chosen, didn't say he's going to have beer with the wife, L'Shem Kiddushin. But we assume that he did L'Shem Kiddushin. That's Rav Henkin thought. And everybody else said, what are you talking about? The guy's not religious. A lot of people are living together today. And our generation, Eidus L'Kim Adabi, L'Shem Kiddushin. It's like a joke. So there was a Rabbi Ferber in London, who was born in Slabodka. He learned in Slabodka. He didn't learn the famous Slabodka yeshiva. There were other yeshivas in Slabodka. He learned in a yeshiva in Slabodka, not the famous Slabodka yeshiva. As a young child, he learned. So he sent letters. He's a Talmid Chacham. So he sent letters to all the Batidinim in Europe and all the different communities to ask what's their position and in America. And they all said the same thing, that l'chatchila, they try to get from the first husband. If they were civilly married and now they get divorced, is it good enough if they have a civil divorce or did they need a get? So they all said the same. L'chatchila, we try to get a get. And if you can't get a get, the first husband is not available to give a get, then we permit the woman to remarry without a get. And the only two who disagreed, who felt that the get is ma'ake, is the Ragachover, for a totally different reason, and Rav Henkin in New York. So people mistakenly presented as if it's machlokes Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Henkin. It's not Rav Moshe Feinstein against Rav Henkin. 98% of the Rabbanim, the Beis Din of Warsaw and Vilna in Hungary and Galicia and all the Batidinim all over Europe, all over Eretz Yisrael, they all said the same thing. Only the Ragachover had one reason, totally different reason. Pilegish, Anushit, that Pilegish needs a get. And Rav Henkin from New York said that you need a get. So he's known for all of the things, and this in induced labor, no one accepted this opinion. He went down in history, and he used to pass on all the other shaylos normally, but he went down in history as one had all these unusual opinions. Sometimes people are cheated by history. He, Nebuch, was cheated by history. And the grandchildren don't help out too much because they keep on emphasizing all of their grandfather's opinions that were never accepted by anyone. Were your brains? So you're not going to have to tell over all your grandfather's shittas. Anyway, so this is the Shaila here. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik came to explain this Ramah. Why does the Ramah say, if it's Nimo Balaila, you have to do a Hatovas on Brist? It's no good. If you do a Brist Balaila, it's no good. If you do a Brist Tel Shmoina, it's no good. So the Ramah says a difference. Nimo Balaila, you have to do a Hatovas on Brist. Nimo Tel Shmoina, but the Ebed is good. So Rav Chaim explained, this is quoted in the Sefer Divrei Yecheskel. Divrei Yecheskel was written by one of the Rabbonim who gave Shurim in the real Slabotka Yeshiva, Yecheskel Burstein. He gave Shurim in Slabotka. So every so often he quotes something from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that's not known from other Shurim. So he quotes over here, the beer is like this. Nimo Balaila is no good and Nimo Tel Shmon is no good. So it's no good, so what do you want to do? You want to do Hatovas Dambris. So what's the din? Does Hatovas Dambris need Yom? Yes, Hatovas Dambris needs Yom. Does Hatovas Dambris need Shmini? No, it doesn't need Shmini. You can do it. You can usually do Hatovas Dambris after the Yom HaShmini. And the Yom HaShmini, a goy did the bris milah, so it's no good. So it's no good. So you did the bris balayla, so it's no good. So you're going to do Hatovas Dambris later. So Rav Chaim said, since Hatovas Dambris doesn't need Shmini, but it needs Yom, so if you did the milah Terch Shmoina Bayayim, so the milah is puzzle, but it's Hatovas Dambris. There was blood. Normally there's always blood when you do a bris milah. So that's Hatovas Dambris. So that, whenever you can't do bris milah, you have to do Hatovas Dambris. He did Hatovas Dambris. He did it Toch Shmoina. But there is no din of Shmini by Hatovas Dambris. But if he did it Balaila, Hatovas Dambris Balaila is not acceptable. That's the beer. So anyway, that's Rav Chaim's beer in the Ramah. So the Vilna Gaon points out here in Beis Samach Dalet, Sivkot Niyud, there's a contradiction here. The Ramah paskin that if you did a bris milah toch shmoina bayoim, you don't have to repeat it. Why not? So Rav Chaim gave the hesber, but whatever the Rav Chaim gave the hesber, what do you want to repeat? You're going to do Hatovas Dambris. Say, he did Hatovas Dambris. No din of Shmini by Hatovas Dambris. So here the Ramah quotes a Rashba. The Rashba disagrees. It's a steer in the Ramah. The Ramah says, whenever the baby has a medical emergency, and the doctors say you have to do a circumcision now, there's some kind of problem, you have to do a medical circumcision to save the baby's life. So then the Ramah Paskins, he's quoting a Rashba in the Tshuva, doesn't make a difference, but who's going to do this surgery, whether a Jew or a non-Jew, because a bris Toch Shmoina is not meaningful, it's not called a bris, but it is not called a bris. The Ramah himself said that it is good b'di'evit. It's only good b'di'evit if it's done by a Jew, it's done by a goy, it's no good. So that's a steer. So that's what the Bir Agro is. These two Rishonim are contradicting each other. The other one is Hagos Maimini. And this is a Rashba. They don't agree with each other. So that's the Bir Agro has that taina. Then it says somehow they have a tradition based on a Medrash that the Sandik is considered Kemaktik Torah. It's based on a medrash that each limb of the body does mitzvahs. You tie the tefillin with the right hand, and each hand, each finger, you do mitzvahs with each part of the body. So then it says in the medrash, the lap, you can do a mitzvah with the lap. The lap should serve, if you serve as a sandik, you're doing a mitzvah. Then it says somehow the medrash has such an idea that just like it says by the Shevet Levi, before Yodav Tirtze. So it says, Yisimu Ktora Be'apecha, if you mak the Ktoritz, that's his gula for Ashiris. So every day in the Beis HaMikdash, they would have a lottery. Who should be Zoyche to do Mishoychet? Who should have the schus to Shecht, the Korban Tomit? Strictly speaking, Shechit Ksher Bizar. So the lottery should be open to whoever is in the Azorah. Not only Kohanim, but this the Kohanim made their own chumra. Mikra din is not; it's not correct. The Kohanim made their own chumra that by korbanas tzibur they wouldn't let Yisraelim do the shechita. They only had the hagrola. They had this lottery. It was only among the Kohanim. That's what it says in the Mishnah. So it says when it can't mi shochet and mi mekabel asadam and mi malach asadam mi zarek asadam, who's going to do hepshit v'nituach, who's going to do the haktorah, and the haktorah was done by many different kohanim. So it says, I think once they determine which kind is going to do mi shochet, who's going to do the trumas hadeshen. First they do a lot of trumas hadeshen, then do a lot of mi shochet. So the next 13 kohanim are all in line. He's going to do shechit, and the next one is going to do kabbalah sadam, halachas sadam, zrikas sadam, hefshit benituach, and so on. They're all going to do. So the Mishnah says, when they had the pious, they had the hagrola, they had the lottery, who's going to be zoichet to do haktoras, haktoras? So they would announce, chadoshim laktoras bo v'hafisu. Who never had a chance yet, among the kohanim in the Azara, who never yet had a chance to be makdik toras. Why Dafka never had a chance? Because haktoras is gula of hashiras, because sirut her, asimak torah v'apecho, baruch Hashem chelo, they should get rich. That's why many svardim have a practice, and became by Ashkenazim also, they have a klaf, and they write parshas haktoras on the klaf, and they have the people recite it, and b'smancha b'samikdush kayim, you do the avodas, b'smancha b'samikdush kayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, let the Jewish people recite the parsha of Karbonis and Mala on the Alein, Keilu Hikriv, I'll consider it as if they said. So just like Haktoras is its Gula Parashiris, so too reciting the parshas Haktoras, Zmancha in Beis HaMikdash Kaim, reciting the parshas Haktoras is considered as Gula Parashiris. So just like Chadoshim Laktoras Bo Vafisu, they would take turns, whoever didn't have a chance yet should be included in the lottery who wants to bring Torahs. So the same thing, you shouldn't have the same family, shouldn't be mechabit twice, the same person. Let's say if they mechabit the rabbi to be the son, so they shouldn't, and then have a second boy. So the Shulchan Aruch has later on, it shouldn't be mechabit the same person twice, because haktoras is as gula v'asher, it's chadoshim laktoras. They should have new people. There's a pasuk in the end, the very end of Chumash Bereishis, Gam b'nei bochem ben Menashe yuldu al birkei Yosef. Menashe the Ephraim were the two sons of Yosef. Mochir ben Menashe was a grandson of Yosef. B'nei Mocha ben Menashe were great-grandchildren. So when they were born, Gam b'nei bochem ben Menashe yuldu al birkei Yosef. What do you mean? They delivered them al birkei Yosef over here. So I think the Medrash says that Yosef served as the Sandik for B'nai Mocha ben Menashe when they had their bris milah. You're not supposed to be Mechabit the same person twice. So some of this I'm right. There used to be a rabbi in Reisha. He was killed by the Nazis in the war. Rabbi in Reisha was a Baron Levine. His grandson used to be the head of economics here in the yeshiva, Aaron Levine. He was also a big Tamachach. He learned in RJJ. Big Tamachach. He married the daughter of Rabbi Roshavchik, who was one of the very popular rabbeim in RJJ, big time chacham. What was I in the middle of explaining? I forgot already. So the Reisha Rav has in his sefer, he has a sefer on Chumash. Reisha Shmos Beikra Bad Midbar. He went to Warsaw with the manuscript. You ever hear of Nat Lewin, famous lawyer? So Nat Lewin is a grandson of the Reisha Rav. So he said his father knew that his father, the Reisha Rav. The Reisha Rav was the Aguda representative to the Polish parliament, the Sejm. He was a good speaker. He was a very good speaker in Yiddish and a very good speaker in Polish. And he was elected. The Aguda was like Democrats and Republicans. It was a coalition government, and the Aguda was running the government. The Aguda was part of the coalition.
He got out of Poland because of his mother. His mother was Dutch. And she
his
was
mother,
under the Dutch thing. They were the first ones to go to
Schengen. Yeah. Mrs. Lewin. Mrs. Lewin, yeah.
and he told me he couldn't get into Harvard today.
Yeah, yeah. So he tells over this story that his father told him that Rabbi Aaron Levine wrote the Chibur on the second half of Bamidbar also. It was never printed. Wrote a Chibur on the second half, and he wrote on Dvarim. And he took the manuscript with him to go to Warsaw. He had a sister who was married to a doctor who lived in Warsaw, and he wanted to give it to the typesetter that they should print it. And then just then, this was the beginning of the war, and it was dangerous to go around. And he was killed by the Nazis in the war. So after the war was over, so Dr. Lewin, Nat Lewin's father, Dr. Lewin wanted to go back to Warsaw. He knew where his aunt lived, where his father's sister lived in Warsaw. He wanted to go to see if the manuscript is there. But they couldn't get in. For many years, there was Iron Curtain, you couldn't get in, you couldn't get out, no one could get there. By the time they eased it up and they allowed people to come, and Dr. Lewin was too old, he couldn't go. So he asked his son Nat Lewin, he should go to try to look for the manuscript. So he said he went, his father's instructions, he went. So it turns out the communists changed the names of all the streets. There shouldn't be a Zecher, anything that was before the communists. And then, so he needed an old-timer who knew what the old names of the streets were, because he only knew the old name before the communists took over Poland. And then they changed the numbers on the streets also. So all the numbers were off kilter. Finally, he found a house. And then he was knocking on the door. He knew which apartment was. Knocking on the door, there was no answer. So he asked the neighbor. So he said, the one who lives in the apartment went to work. You have to come late at night when they come back from work, early in the morning. So he went and he said they never found any manuscript there in any language. He tried to find it, couldn't get it. Anyway, so he has a very beautiful sefer. Hadrash V'Ha'iyun, it's called, a lot of it is Drush, but every so often he has Halacha. He wrote very nice, he has a whole sefer on Brachas, very nice form. So on that pasuk, Gam Minei Bracha V'Menashe Yuldal Brikei Yosef, he raises the issue, how do we have a minig that you're not mechabed the rabbi to be tzaddik twice, because like you want to spread the wealth, like Chadosh M'lak Torah's Bo'ev HaFisu, but what do you do with the pasuk says? Yildal Berke Yosef, and the Medrash says that it means he was the tzaddik by all of the great-grandchildren. So he suggests maybe this meaning, not to give twice, only goes on the rabbi. But if it's a grandfather, great-grandfather, so then you can even give him two or three brisen also. Anyway, that's...
How about the twins? The name of this building is Glock.
What?
The name of this building is a Glock. Vivian Glock gave this building. She had twins. Her husband was a son for both kids.
Her husband?
Yeah, Mr. Rosenberg. Vivian Glock had twins. At the breast, he was the son for both children.
Who, the grandfather?
No, the father.
The father of the baby? Was the tzaddik by his own baby?
Twice. Both.
Okay. They are twins. No, they were twins.
They're both twins.
They're both brisen on the same day.
Yeah. They were born again the same day.
Mm-hmm. So usually mechabit someone else to be the tzaddik. Okay. So this is a problematic Ramah that the Ramah quotes from the Rashba here. Whenever there's a suffix takonim, and you have to remove the or horla within Shemana Yomim. Doesn't make a difference whether they have a Jew or non-Jew. The Rama himself said, fuck yeah, if it's done by a Jew, tal shmaina, by Yom, then you don't have to repeat it. If it's done by Goy, you do have to repeat it. How does he say that it's the same? That is a stira in the Rama. Then it says, if you mechabit someone to be the tzaddik, then you want to change your mind, so that's not proper. So the Taz in Sifkot Nehei quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin. What's wrong with telling a lie? In the Chumash, there's a din lo se shakri ish ba misai. But lo se shakri ish ba misai only applies if I owe you money. And I say in Bezna, I don't owe you money, I deny it. That's lo se shakri. But if you ask me how much is my salary, and I want to tell you a lie, either more than I make or less, that's none of your business. That's not a din lo se shakri ish ba misai. Lo se shakri goes to deny that you owe money. So what's wrong? That pasuk means if I promise to do something for someone, either in business, not legally binding, either in business or to be mechabed him with the tzaddikos or something, So that's not proper to back out. Nikra Rasha, Muta Lekrosa Rasha. But that's what it says. If you promise to be Mechabit someone with Sandekos, then it's not right to back out. So then the Pischa Tshuva has a whole discussion. I promised someone that he should be the Sunday because I thought it's a little village. But then it turns out Adayam Hashmini, the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, happens to be in town. So I want to be Mechabit the chief rabbi. So maybe then there's no Isser to back out. That's a long discussion in the Pischa Tshuva, whether Sheri Saleh Asu Abba even applies in such a situation. Then it says in the Shulchan Aruch, what kind of an instrument do you have to use? Anything that cuts well. You can use glass, a sharp piece of glass. You can use metal. You can use whatever. Whatever instrument is used. A knife, a scissors, everything good. And the minig is that you use dafka knife. So that's the question. Why is the minig that you use a knife? Shouldn't we use a scissors? I remember once we had a moil. I think it's Rabbi, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Heshi Reichman, son-in-law. Rabbi, he's a musmach. I think Rabbi Heshi Reichman gave him smicha. One year, Rabbi Reichman taught Yeridei, and thought that his son-in-law should get smicha. So he's Rabbi Prero from Chicago. His father was a prominent Rabbi Prero in Chicago. So I remember once he has his gripes about some of the moilim in the New York area that they don't do bris milah properly. So he once showed a video. He took a video of different moilim doing bris milah, and he showed what he thinks that they did improperly. They didn't cut enough. So part of the video was that you see skin hanging, and the moil is using a knife to cut off the skin. So he said he doesn't understand why didn't use a scissors. That's a good question. Why don't we have a minig to use a scissors? You're cutting around. So instead of cutting around with the scissors, we pull the oral like this, and then you cut it with a knife. Why such a strange thing? Why use a scissors to cut around? So the Svarim Rite used to be in the early years of the after Hakamas HaMedina and the Rabbanut, they had prominent, colorful people in the Rabbanut. So one of them was Simcha Asaf. He learned in Europe in Telz before the war. And he was in Jewish history. He was a professor of Jewish history, and he wrote a lot of books on Jewish history. And he's a big Talmud Chacham also. So he did a lot of research on the Karoim. So he shows that we spoke about this once, that by the Karoim they insist on using Davka scissors based on the Pasuk in Sefer Yoshua. Kach locha charbos tzurim shumoles b'nei Yisrael shenis. Charbos tzurim means you have two knives that cut one against the other. So they paskin, they made up their own religion. They paskin, you only yotze bris mila if you use a scissor. If you use a knife, it's no good. So that's what the Rambam says, Mikra, then you can use a scissor. But the Rambam was fighting with Karoim in Egypt all the time. There are a lot of lines in the Rambam that are anti-Karoitic. They're not really halachic statements. They're anti-Karoim. So the Rambam writes, he can use scissors, but Kvanoga called Israel, Lomo Besak, what do you mean, Kali? He's writing the book for the Jews, not writing the book for the non-Jews. What do you mean? The meaning by the Jews is they use a knife. The meaning by the rabbinic Jews, those who don't follow the Karoim, meaning by the Jews who follow Torah Shabbat Peh, is that we stay away from using the scissors, that no one should think that the Karoim are right. They're not correct. That's not what it means. Charos Turim doesn't mean the scissors that cuts one against the other. But strictly speaking, use anything that works. Then the Mechaber has in Reish HaMechdalos Beis, the meaning is that use the scissors, use a knife made from barzel, made from iron. Why is the meaning made from barzel? So the Achronim point out, my grandmother, for a period of time, my family lived in Philadelphia, and the day school in Philadelphia, I went to the fifth grade. So my parents sent me to New York to stay by my grandparents in order to go to the sixth grade, to go to yeshiva in the sixth grade. So my grandmother, every Shabbos, would go through the Tzene Berena. Tzene Berena was on the Parshas HaShavua in Yiddish, and it quotes all the Midrashim. So there's a medrash that no one knows the source. It's quoted in the Tzene Berena. So that medrash says that when David HaMelech was fighting with Goliath, Goliath was wearing a coat of armor to protect him. So how did David HaMelech succeed in throwing a stone and killing him? The answer is that the coat of armor, there are different pieces of barzel, and it moved in order to give a miracle occurred, and it moved away in order that the slingshot that David threw at Goliath should hit him, should kill him. So as a reward for the Barzel, for moving away and allowing David HaMelech to kill Goliath, that's why we have a meaning that we use Dafke Barzel. Use Dafke, the metal that has iron. So the Achronim say that this, they don't know where this medrash is, they just, it's quoted in the Tzenevaren. So now they have the Tzenevaren translated into English, so this is on the cover, on the jacket, on the cover. That everyone should know how important Tzenevaren is. It's the marker for this line in Siv Beis. That's the only source that they have. Then Siv Gimel, how much do you have to cut? How much skin do you have to cut? So the Basar Achayf has Reiv HaTorah. You have to make Gilui HaTorah. What is HaTorah? So what is HaTorah is a fundamental machloikis in early Poskim. The Beis Yosef quotes the whole story. So there are two different kinds of a crown. Sometimes you have a crown that goes around in a circle. Let's say a Akala gets married. Sometimes a crown like this. Sometimes a crown like this. It goes like this. So here, there are two opinions. What is the HaTorah? So the Eber HaZakus, is this better? The Eber HaZakus at the tip has like this, and then indents a little bit, and then it goes back. So most assume the Atorah is the whole tip over here. Let's say we cut off all of the skin over here, and this part is still covered over. But this is like 60% of the skin was removed, and Reiv HaTorah is meguba, and only 40% is still cut. So the Beis Yosef who calls a Chacham Svardi, he doesn't identify who it is. But Tzasi Kasa B'Shem Chacham Svardi, the HaTorah is this. This is the HaTorah, not this whole thing on the tip. We usually assume the tip of the Eva HaZachos. The HaTorah is only over here, this part. So if you cut off all of the skin from here to the end, you didn't even get the first bit. You didn't cut off anything. The whole HaTorah is mechutzah. The HaTorah is over here. That's a fundamental machlokes. They say the minkacha was a moil. So people would be afraid to go to mikveh when he was in the mikveh, because he would see people had a bris milah, and the whole HaTorah was covered, according to the Chacham Svardi. So he would grab them. And he would say, "You're not yet to the mitzvah milah." So he would take adults and make them have a proper bris milah. He said, "They're arelim; they're not yet to anything." That's a shaila had a paskin. So there's a sefer that's an anonymous author. It doesn't say who wrote it. The Pesachim Tshuva quotes it every so often. It's called the Yad Haktana. So he has halacha lemaisa on different, not on everything, as on different sections of the Rambam. So Bris Mili has a long piece. He thinks that we should pass on like the Chacham Svardi, that the HaTorah is that little part. So if you cut off 60%, you cut off 80%, but you didn't cover it, you didn't uncover at all the HaTorah, that part on the bottom, the Chut HaMakif, that's because of the Chut HaMakif. Then you didn't even begin to do a Bris Mili. That's a fundamental machloikas. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. Believe that, we shall continue tomorrow. People going to the parade today? Today the parade.
Where are we going?
I can't go. I got too many things going. Somebody told me that they expect a little adversary today. There's always adversary. From the Natura Karta. What?
The knife is sharper than the scissor.
A knife is sharper? Oh. Okay.
The scissor, you have to sharpen the old side.
Uh-huh.